Today on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
You ought to be looking for a brother whom you can touch. Looking for a young brother that you can mentor. Looking for a sister whose life you can change. Looking for someone that's hungry whom you can use the blessings God has given you to bless them. Try being kind and gracious.
Alfred Street Baptist Church presents Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley, a weekly series that will provide practical life applications and motivate you to step out of the shadows and deal with the struggles and stresses of everyday life.
There's nothing worse than going through life carrying the dead weight of empty, unfulfilling relationships. This week's Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley will help you to examine your relationships in a message entitled, Do You Make Me Better? Now let's listen in.
One of the major problems in life is that you suffer from a spiritual iron deficiency. I'm not talking about iron supplements that you buy at CVS, but rather in a biblical sense, for it is Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, who declares that iron, you know what iron is? Iron is someone in your life who sharpens you. Iron is someone who makes you better, that you really need some people in your life who are not satisfied to let you remain where you are, but understand that their call in your life is to truly make you better. And for some of us, we suffer because our lives are filled with people who really don't make us better. You do know that the only number that adds nothing to an equation is zero. And so if you've got people in your life who are not adding to the quality and character of your life, you know what they are? Zero. Don't look at nobody. Zeros. If you browse through the Bible and search through scripture, you will find that God is intimately and ultimately concerned about who's connected to your life. At no time is God apathetic, nonchalant, and willy-nilly about the people who occupy the intimate circles of your life. God cares deeply about who you give access to who you are. For the Lord knows what many of us have yet to discover in life. And that is that the easiest way for the devil to detour, delay, and even deny you your destiny in God is to attach you to people with whom you have an emotional connection, but they lack a discernment, a concern, or an ability to help push you into God's design for your life. Pause, stop, rewind, press play so you can tweet that correctly. The easiest way to be delayed, denied, and detoured from your destiny in God is to be attached to people with whom you have an emotional connection, but they have no discernment, no concern, and no ability to push you in the direction of the design that God has for your life. And all they do is hold you stagnant in a place that God is trying to groom you and grow you from. And I don't know who I'm preaching to this early on Sunday morning, but let me give it to you from the gospel of Tyler Perry. You can do bad all by yourself. You don't need other folk to bring you down, to drag you down, to keep you stale and stagnant. You need people in your life who make you better. Can I come in and sit on your couch this morning? Let me tell you, there are two types of people in your world. Two types. Those who are assigned by God and those who are allowed by you. Go on, preach, Pastor. There are two type of folk around you. The ones assigned and the ones allowed. Assigned folk ordained by God to join in your life, to partner with you and push you and promote you into the plan God has for your life. That's what God says when he looks at Adam and realizes that Adam has a work to do, but he can't do it by himself. And so he says, I've got to bring someone in your life, and I can't just bring you some anybody and everybody. Can't bring you Shaniqua and Nene. I need to create somebody in your life who will help push you to what I've called you to do as a helper. Assigned folk. But the problem is that the majority of folk in your life are simply allowed. For the truth be told, many of our relationships are random and not purposeful. They're accidental and not providential. That we just connect with whom we connect and allow people to have access to us. And because, Deacon V, too many people are not discriminating about who's in their life and why they're in their life, we wind up in relationships that empty us rather than edify us. If, Crystal, if you are not discriminating about who you allow in your life, you will gravitate to people who help you escape an insecurity, who share a deficiency with you, who are good for your ego, or simply fill a void in your life. I'm going to say that again, Pastor. If you're not discriminating, you will gravitate to people who help you escape your own insecurities, people with whom you share a deficiency in life, people who are good for your ego and blow sunshine in your face all day long, or people who fill a void in your life, but not people who make you better. Scripture and life are filled with examples of people who missed the mark of magnificence and landed in the misery of mediocrity because of the wrong people in their world. Say that again. Life is filled with folk who miss the mark of magnificence and land in the misery of mediocrity because they have the wrong people in their lives. Deacon Bogan, the irony of Scripture is that Solomon, the wisest man in the world, who repeatedly in the book of Proverbs writes about the need to have right associations and the right people around you. This Solomon, who understood that you need iron to sharpen you and people who make you better. This same Solomon was unable to pass that life lesson on to his son named Rehoboam. Many of you may not know who Rehoboam is. Let me give you the context of his life. To understand Rehoboam's life and dilemma, you've got to know a little bit about the end of Solomon's life. Solomon, this brother, this son of David, who started with a bang with God, winds up in a fizzle. And the reason Solomon fizzles out in his walk with God is real simple. The Bible says that at the end of Solomon's life, Solomon developed a real problem. He had 700 wives and 300 booze. Tell somebody, tell them that's a problem. That's he has 700 wives and 300 booze. And the Bible says that Solomon's love for women was greater than his love of God. And as a result, Solomon began to build altars to false gods for his wives and his booze to worship at. The Lord becomes displeased with Solomon and allows three major enemies to rise against him: Hadad, Rezon, and a brother by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam is a former leader of the armies of Solomon and well beloved among the people. And Jeroboam poses a significant threat to the kingdom and the reign of Solomon because the people want to line up with Jeroboam. Jeroboam is hesitant to revolt against Solomon, so he flees to Egypt to stay out of the way. When Solomon dies, the crown passes on to his son by the name of Rehoboam. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon and the grandson of David, and it is his legal right and inheritance to sit on the throne of his father David, that Rehoboam will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. He will be great in Israelite history, for he is the third king of the united monarchy of the 12 tribes of Israel. It is his destiny to be great. But you will find that it was under the reign of Rehoboam that Israel goes through a civil split between the northern tribes and the southern tribes. The northern kingdom is formed called Israel, and the southern kingdom is formed called Judah. And this Rehoboam, who should have reigned over 12 tribes of Israel, is left reigning over two tribes in the southern kingdom. It is under Rehoboam that Israel is split, and the kingdom of David is decimated, and the people are at odds with one another. Why? That's a good question. Because when Rehoboam becomes king, Jeroboam comes back from Egypt, and he says to Rehoboam, in your father Solomon's latter years, he became cruel and mean with the people. He burdened them and beat them and had them toil in labor without adequate resources. And Jeroboam tells Rehoboam, take it easy. Be a little light, and the people will serve you forever. Yeah, yeah. Rehoboam then calls the counselors of elders who had counseled his father Solomon and asked them what he should do. And the elders told Rehoboam, listen to Jeroboam. Take it easy on the people. Don't be so mean and cruel and nasty, but take it easy and the folk will love you forever. And the greatest tragedy of scripture comes in verse number 8 that says, Rehoboam rejected the counsel of the elders and formed a new council of his friends that had been raised with him. Paul, stop, rewind, you missed it. He rejected the counsel of the elders and surrounded himself with his friends and his homeboys.
We'll be right back after this message from Alfred Street Baptist Church.
Join us for Kaya, our Come As You Are worship experience. An exciting gathering for millennials and young adults that tackles the real and relevant issues of life. This Wednesday, May 4th at 7:30 p.m. at Alfred Street Baptist Church. For more information, visit alfredstreet.org. Welcome back to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
You can't grow in life if everyone in your life says yes to everything you want. You can't grow surrounding yourself with people who agree with you and see everything the way you see it. What Rehoboam didn't understand that I want to pass on to you is that you can miss the mark of magnificence and land in the misery of mediocrity, not simply by having the wrong people in your life, but by not having the right people in your life. There it is. It's not just about the deadbeats and delinquent zeros that are hanging out around you, but there ought to be some right people in your life, some people who help you pursue the call of God and meet the mark of God and become the woman of God, the man of God that God created you to be. You need some right people around you. And in this next few minutes I want to teach you that there are six people you need in your life in order to be what God has created you to be. There's six roles the folk around you have to play if they're going to make you better. Six type of folk you need to be sharpened in life. Can I drop them on you real quick? Number one, you need a comforter. Let the church say comforter. You need someone who can help you where you hurt. Let me tell you why you need a comforter. Because life will inevitably hurt you. People will always let you down. Folk that you thought you could trust in will stab you in the back. Enemies will be real. Friends will be fake. Co-workers will be fickle. Supervisors will be unjust. The world has a way of wounding you and bruising you and hurting you at the core of who you are. As a matter of fact, there's some folk that have been around the block long enough to know that in this life, it is inevitable that you will be hurt. And I come by to tell you that when life hurts you, it doesn't matter how big and bad you are. It doesn't matter what your salary is. Doesn't matter what your W-2 says. Doesn't matter what degrees you have on your wall. Everybody needs somebody sometime. You need somebody who you can be real with. Somebody you can take your mask off. Somebody you can be vulnerable with. Somebody you can sit down and share with them the hurt in your heart and know that they won't wound you. Everybody needs somebody. You need somebody to talk to. You need somebody to help you. Somebody to hold your hand and tell you everything is going to be all right. You need somebody to remind you that God is still in control. You need somebody to speak life to you when you want to lay down and die. You need a comforter. And let me tell you how you know they're a godly comforter. Because you can be vulnerable and they not judge you. I need some folk that I can share the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life. And they not judge me. I need some folk that can hear me say that I have trouble forgiving her. And I want to slap him in his mouth. And I felt like cussing them out. And I wanted to break their windows and slash their tires. I need some folk that can let me get it out of my spirit. And not judge me for being human. But comfort me where I hurt. And remind me that God has a higher call on my life. I need somebody that I can be real with. Let them know I can quote more than scripture. If you don't have a comforter, Dustin, one of two things will happen to you. Number one, you will react out of feelings rather than fact. Your feelings really are the most irrational compass in your life. Because your feelings change all the time. But if you don't have someone to process those feelings with, someone to vent your hurt with, someone to speak your pain to, you will go around life full of negative feelings that cause you to react in inappropriate ways out of feelings. And so you take out on Sarah what Susie did to you, and you cuss at somebody for cutting you off on the beltway, and you get mad because the usher won't let you sit in your family seat that you sit in every Sunday because you ain't processed your feelings. And so you always walking around ready to let loose on anybody that crosses your path. If you've ever met somebody that goes off at the drop of a dime, I promise you they don't have a comforter. And if you don't have a comforter, catch this, you will want the one who hurt you, you want them to heal you. When you don't have someone to process and comfort the hurt in your life, you will inevitably go back to the one who hurt you and expect the one who hurt you to make you better. You want to work it out with them. You want them to say, I'm sorry. You want them to hold you. You want them to make it better. But when you have a comforter, the primary goal of a comforter is to help you with your feelings so you can be around the people who hurt you and not need anything from them. I don't need you to hug me. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to say I'm sorry. I worked it out before I got around you, and I'm fine, baby. Can I preach it like God gave it? When you have a comforter, you can go to work and don't need your best friend to be on your job. You don't need your coworkers to like you. You don't need your boss to pat you on the back. You don't need folk to blow sunshine in your face because you got that stuff straight at home before you got on the job. I need a comforter. Can I tell you what else you need? I feel it now. Not only do you need a comforter, can I give you number two? You need a, watch this, a confronter. You want to hear that one. You were shouting on comforter. But you need a confront. Let me tell you why you need a confronter. It's simple. Because you ain't always right. Sometimes you wind up in places that children of God should not. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Sometimes you get in places that children of God should not be. Come on, I don't want you to wave, give yourself away, but wink at me if you've ever gotten stuck in a place you know you. Sin has a way of sticking and binding us in places the Lord doesn't want us to be. And the problem when you get stuck in sin is that many of us surround ourselves with enablers. Because for many of us, the true test of the fidelity of your friendship is how much you'll lie for me. Come on. You ain't my friend if you ain't gonna cover me. Or we're around folk who can't confront us, because if they start calling out our stuff, I'm gonna start calling out, don't you judge me, because I know your dirt too. And so you get stuck because there's no one around you who can confront you with your sin to pull you out of where you are. But the Lord says, watch this, that the reason I've used confronters in your life is because godly confrontation leads to repentance. That one of the ways I get you out of a place of sin is to send someone sent by God into your life to confront you with you being in a place the Lord doesn't want you at. Now, that's a word, because in church, we want to live and let live. We don't want to say nothing. But the bottom line is that I need some people every now and then to step into my private space and speak a word of truth to me, whether I want to hear it or not. Don't say ouch. If you read in the Bible, you'll find that God uses godly confronters. When David is stuck in his sin with Bathsheba, God sends Nathan into his life to confront him. When Ahab and Jezebel have wrongly stolen the property of Naboth, God sends Elijah into Ahab's life to confront him with godly truth. And maybe the standard of friendship should not be how much they'll lie for you, but how much they'll say the truth to you. Hear me, you know it's godly confrontation when there's no threat of exposure. God, I feel like teaching gotcha. That those who are sent by God don't come blackmailing and trying to threaten you and let you know that they're going to go public. No, those who are called by the Lord, the Bible says they come to you based on Galatians 6 in private and speak to you about the sin in your life and say, I love you too much to expose you, but I love you too much to leave you in a place where you are not moving in the destiny of God. If you love me, speak truth to me. If you love me, don't leave me where the Lord is not in my life. If you love me, don't threaten to expose me, but speak truth to me and confront me. Do you have a confronter in your life? Do you have a comforter in your life? Can I tell you number three what you need? You need a challenger in your life. Can I just make this simple? Here it is. You need someone in your life whose godliness gets on your nerves. You know the kind of folk I'm talking about. Our folk, they always talking about Jesus. Our folk, when they say they gonna pray, you know they mean they gonna pray all night long. Kind of folk, when you ask them to be your prayer partner, you regret it because they call you every day. The folk that every other word out their mouth is the Bible says this and the Bible says that and the Bible says this and the Bible says that. You need some folk whose godliness irritates you because it exposes a deficiency in your discipleship that causes you to grow to another level. Go on, preach, pastor. You need some folk that get on your nerve and make you realize you don't pray like you should pray, and you don't read the Bible like you should, and you don't walk with God the way you ought to, and they become an example to motivate you to grow. My oldest son, Deuce, played basketball this year with Lee District, and by the grace of God, he made the All-Star squad. Deuce pretty good, made the All-Star squad. And Dustin, I noticed a significant difference between the way he played in the regular season and the way he did on the All-Star team. In the regular season, he just kind of laps around, but since he was the tallest and one of the best on his team, he'd shoot and just kind of take it lackadaisical. But on the All-Star team, when they gathered the best players from all the other teams, I noticed that his game stepped up a little bit. He'd drive to the hole with a little more passion. He'd shoot that jump shot like his daddy taught him to. He was doing everything. He stepped his game up when he got around some better players. And so now when we go down to Lee District to play basketball, Deacon Johnson, I don't let him play with the little kids on the court. I make him play with the teenagers, and he gets mad. Daddy, why I gotta play with the teenagers? They're bigger than me. They're faster than me. I said, because you will never grow playing with folk at your level. If you want to grow, you gotta get around some folk that are bigger than you and better than you and stronger than you. And if you're stuck in your walk with God, you better find some folk that love the Lord more, that talk to God more, that read their word more, and step your game up.
You've been listening to Faith Forward, featuring the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church in Alexandria, Virginia, where you'll have 4 opportunities to worship with us in person and or online. Each weekend starting at 6 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays at 7:15 a.m., 10 a.m. or noon. Be sure to visit alfredstreet.org for more info.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. If you'd like to find out how you can support this ministry, be sure to visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has 4 opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.